Greetings, Internet. Welcome to another episode of YMHMI, the last episode of this season.
That's right. We didn't announce it last week.
I know, right?
So, I think
well, we didn't even know it.
Yeah, we just kind of decided.
Yeah, we were like after, 13 episodes. This is a great... Yeah.
We stopped after the other, the 13th episode before, and this is just a good time for us to stop. Because most of what we do is games you might have missed, despite the fact that we do a lot of current games, quite honestly. But so during release season, we're not going to be your news source. Like, you're going anywhere else to get the latest on the hottest new video games that have dropped. And we're not going to provide that for you. So... we're going to give you time to go out and listen to those, and it'll give us time to work a little bit on the production side and maybe do a few kind of side projecty things for the next month.
Basically, we're still going to be doing the Hearthstone thing.
Yeah.
Adam's got midterms coming up.
I don't, but those will come up when we start again.
Oh, that's awesome.
At the end of September, so, or at the end of October. October, sorry.
Beginning of November.
This is the end of September.
Welcome to the end of September.
When September Ends is a really shitty song I wish I'd never heard.
Actually,
too goddamn it's sappy.
Oh.
I think I'm just going to let him sleep through September.
Oh. Well, anyway, I'm Nathan.
Oh, and I'm Adam. And I'm Grumpalopolis.
Oh, he's not Grumpalopolis.
I am Grumpalopolis.
Ah.
The maybe. Third. In a
maybe.
Long line of Grumpalopolises. Grumpalopoli.
Grumpalopoli?
Yep. It's a race now, not a surname, apparently.
Oh, okay. All right.
Not a grouch, because I don't live in a trash can.
Right.
A grump, because I hate sappy songs. Because they're all sappy, covered in sap.
So I noticed you were playing Shadowrun.
I was, yeah. Last week I talked a little bit about it, just the fact that it was basically out again.
Uh-huh.
And I hadn't gotten very far into it yet, so I hadn't seen a lot of the newer stuff.
Right.
And they've definitely added a lot of new content, and it's all really good, and it all really helps fill in holes, actually, that had existed in the original game. And it also introduces a couple new characters who I haven't gotten a lot of interaction with yet, but I think that they're going to add an interesting viewpoint.
So when you
to
say
the whole story,
okay, when you say holes, are you talking about plot holes, or are you talking about
no, just little holes in the kind of the side
holes and all kinds of stuff?
No, not gameplay holes.
Oh, okay.
They do patch up a couple of those. The whole system is just better. Your team levels up in a more interesting way. So instead of just kind of like, oh, they've gained upgrades as you do shadow runs, which they still do, you can also assign them upgrades. So you can give them stuff that they can focus on.
Oh, so it gave you a little more control on it.
Exactly. So like for one of the characters, for example, you can have her focus on her marksmanship, or you can have her be more of a melee fighter. And in this case, I've chosen to make her more of a melee fighter because she just does a buttload of damage when she's up close and personal. And I already have somebody who's kind of a long range specialist. So it's easier to keep those separate.
Okay. So you're rounding out your team, and it gives you more control over the ability to round out your team. So you can have that range specialist as opposed to him training himself in melee shit on the side.
Right, and that's part of it. I mean, there's also making more close combat, different upgrades and weapons and stuff like that, different supplies that they'll carry on with them. So it's about making your team more well-rounded, but also about making them more interesting. I think overall, and making that progression more interesting rather than just like, oh, these are another set of Shadowrunners that I bring along. And it's like, no, they're your team, and your team should be growing with you.
Right.
And independently of you, you know, in the sense that like, oh, they're out doing, you know, shopping, and they're out focusing on specific elements of their training and stuff like that. So it's, it's a fun new addition to the whole system. And then just some side stories that explain other groups and more of the kind of involvement. And the entire story takes place in Berlin. And there's just a lot of, if you've ever watched like any old movies around like Germany and Berlin specifically, it gives it more of that film noir sense and more like there's all of these interested parties in the area. So if you ever watch like The Third Man or something like that, that's a good example of the kind of intrigue that's going on. Not the political, well, a lot actually of the political kind, but not so much different countries, but different factions kind of vying for the control of Germany in 2055.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Great. So dissension starts in Germany again is basically what you're saying.
Say again.
Son of a bitch.
Dissension. Well, it's all over the world. Do you know that you don't know really know the storyline behind Shadowrun, do you?
Not really, no.
Okay, so let's get into a little fictional history
here. Let's go there.
The story of Shadowrun, and I don't know the whole story. Like there, you can go to a lore board somewhere and you'll probably get a much better explanation. So basically, Shadowrun is an awakened world. So magic has come back into the world. And all of a sudden, like, elves and dwarves and trolls have reemerged into this world alongside humans. But instead of, like, reemerging, like, oh, they're coming out from the underground or whatever, like, they've always been there or they've been sleeping, all of a sudden, like, normal human beings are changing into these magical kind of metahuman creatures. So all of a sudden, you've just got, like, Ted from accounting is all of a sudden an orc, and Gary is a troll, and Kim is a dwarf.
I can see that being rather violent.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, you can imagine, like, racial tensions kind of get up there a little bit. And so you're dealing with those. You're dealing with, you know, humans versus orcs versus trolls versus elves. And, of course, everyone trying to live together. So there's, you know, there's all of those kind of factions going on. People who just, you know, don't really, like today, you know, who don't really see race, and some people who are just very focused in on it. In addition to that, you have magic versus technology. And in some cases, again, they've kind of fused and they're just part of everyday life, but magic is also very violent and, has created a lot of chaos in the world. And in addition to like metahuman races emerging, actual magical creatures have come out of the woodwork too. So you're dealing with stuff like hellhounds and yetis and wendigo and all of these things in this kind of cyberpunk world. And of course, dragons have come back as well. And the dragons are the types that have just like woken up. And have been there for thousands of years, but have just been asleep since the previous age, which is conveniently, of course, plot conveniently tied to the Mayan calendar.
Seriously?
So, yeah. And keep in mind, this was all written back in the 1980s.
Okay. All right. So that's okay.
That's fine. I'll give them a pass. So there's all of this stuff going on and all of these, you know, political things.
So then the Shadowrunners are basically like specialized mercenary groups.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You think of like a heist movie where you have like a somebody who's like the muscle and you have somebody who's the brains of the operation. Mm-hmm. And in a modern heist movie, you've got, you know, hackers and stuff like that and thieves and things. And so that's kind of what a Shadowrunner team is it's a team in a heist movie.
It's George Clooney in Ocean's 11.
No, that would be... It's more like if Ocean's 11 met the Expendables. more subtle, but also sometimes there's explosions.
Okay, so
I'll have to think of it. If you ever watched the show Leverage, it's a show that was on for a while.
So.
If you... And this is for everyone, Nate, and you, dear listener. If you haven't, go watch that show. One, it's very good, and I believe it's still on Netflix right now. Mm-hmm. But it's very good, and it'll give you a very good idea of kind of what Shadowrun would look like without the magic and without the kind of future cyberpunk world. Because it's very role based and stuff like that. And the first time I watched it, literally, like when it was just the first airing of it, I watched the first episode and I was like, oh my God, this is like Shadowrun. And then I was pleased to find out, like, oh, it kind of is, because the guy who wrote it is a fan of that type of like tabletop gaming stuff. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, no, he's a very good writer, but it's a great show. It ran for about 5 seasons. A lot of fun to watch. I highly recommend it.
Check out Leverage. Got it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, Shadowrun Returns, Dragonfall, just a lot of really great stuff going on in that. And a lot of those kind of holes in history being filled. And then a lot of the political side of it being filled out with this director's cut. So it's good stuff, Maynard.
Wow.
I recommend it highly.
All right, cool.
So you have been playing. I also noticed you playing a game this afternoon, sir.
I know, right? We actually were playing games this afternoon, yeah, for the first time.
It's crazy.
And like, yeah.
I mean, I still played some Hearthstone, but that's another, yeah, podcast.
It's been rough for us to get time to play a game. Another reason why we're saying this.
And podcasts.
Oh, God.
Spent the morning watching stuff. Anyway, go ahead with your, what's your game?
That's right. We watched the Hearthstone tournament. But again, yeah, different podcast.
Yeah, we'll talk about that on Thursday.
Yeah. So I actually picked up this afternoon Starpoint Gemini 2, because I looked at it and I was like, hey, it kind of looks like Star Trek Online. And it kind of is, except much more badass and not a shitty free-to-play.
Is it an MMO or is
no.
it?
No.
Okay.
It's a single player. And there's two ways you can play it. There's infinite ways you can play it. I'll get to that here in a moment. But okay, so when you first say new game, it gives you two options. You can do the campaign or free roam.
Okay, and what did you choose?
I chose free roam because fuck borders. No, I don't know. I kind of want to play the campaign later. I'm just playing free roam now to get kind of a feel for the whole style.
Uh-huh.
But it is an amazing game. Like it controls a lot like Star Trek Online, which I thought had really great controls, kind of for the
you're saying it's like Star Trek Online, but give me a little bit more of an overhead here. Like, okay, what is it about?
Okay, so basically, you are a starship captain.
Okay.
Okay. I don't believe you'll ever see your character except for the portrait. You fly your ship. And you can do pretty much whatever the fuck you want. I have, in the 2.5 hours that I've played it so far, I was mining asteroids, which you literally go up to it. You literally fly up to an asteroid and shoot the shit out of it until it explodes and drops loot. I have run courier missions. There is an actual economic system. So, like, if you go to one star base, the prices may differ from another star base. So, you know, you can do the whole, like, buy low, sell high kind of thing, which makes a shitload of money, by the way.
So is it a lot like, it sounds a lot like more like EVE Online.
It is actually, it probably is a lot like EVE. I don't know. Okay. I've never played EVE.
Because that one is more of like the Star Trek Online thing is more like Star Trek Simulator or something like that.
Right.
Whereas this sounds more like a space mercenary type of.
It kind of is. And I mean, you could take jobs. Like, I did take a few jobs to go on, you know, like this starbase said that pirate needs to die. And you can go kill them, or you can assault trading vessels, or, you know, you can do either. The reason why I picked it up is just because of the openness that you know, the trailer's like, you can literally start out one way and you decide how you want to go. You can either be one of the military and move up in the military to, you know, great commander heights and whatnot. Or you can go pirate and do that. Or you can just do build a trade empire. Because it's not only you. Like, I haven't got to this point yet, but apparently, like, once you get another ship, like, if you're able to buy new ships to and upgrade your ship.
So you can build a fleet in this one, then.
Exactly. So, okay. I mean, you can build a trading fleet, or you can have, you know, like a little fleet that goes along with you to assault things and whatnot. It's really cool. I've enjoyed it thoroughly so far.
Nice. How does it handle?
The controls are, I mean, I'm using a beginner ship, so it doesn't have the best maneuverability right now. I did do a couple upgrades on it, so it got a lot better. But the controls are actually pretty solid. I mean, you've got, you can either aim yourself and fire at stuff yourself if you want, or you can hit a button and the computer will auto-target, and you can just focus on flying the ship.
Nice.
Okay. And evasive maneuvers actually work, believe it or not.
So you can actually move around and try and dodge things? Or...
Yeah, I'm playing it on the default difficulty, which I think is, like, normal.
Okay.
And they'll launch, like, torpedoes and shit at you. And if you, you know, it's like, serpentine, man, serpentine. If you do that, they will miss you.
Nice.
Because like, okay. You've got a good amount of distance, and, you know, it takes a while for the shot to get from here to here.
Mm-hmm.
So... In its path, you can actually move out of the way.
So the question I have then is do the enemies do the same thing?
Yes.
Okay. So they actually also engage in some evasive maneuvers just to make it interesting for
now
you?
There are some weapons, like, I actually, because of that, and because of the fact that I may have done something that made some people really angry at me, and now they're sending guys like 5 or 6 levels higher than me. It does have that RPG out leveling element to it as well, by the way. I switched to more of like a ray gun, like a laser type thing. Doesn't do as much damage as the torpedoes, but
it's
I don't have to worry
accurate.
About the yeah, huh?
It's a lot more accurate.
It's instant accurate.
Ah, okay.
It's just ray, done.
So what you're saying is that the laser travels at least near the speed of light.
Exactly. So thank God for that.
That's true. And you're not battling over light years then?
No. It's more like probably I haven't figured out what their method of measurement is. I'd
probably pixels.
No, it's not pixels because it takes me 2 minutes to get 4,000 whatever this unit is.
Voxels.
Voxels. You're so funny. No, I don't think it's voxels. I don't know. It's got to be. It's. I for a while, just the distances, I was thinking, you know, this might be kilometers, but then I was within 50 kilometers from something and then ran into it, and I'm like, there's no way I was moving that fast.
Well, you'd have to think you would be moving fairly quickly in a space game where the primary modes of perhaps money-making are interplanetary trade.
right. Well, that's the thing is there is a mode of travel. There is like an instant mode of travel. I haven't unlocked it yet. Apparently it's really cool. But there is a, they call it PTE mode.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you can adjust your power consumption, on this little part of the UI in the lower left. You can adjust your power consumption, where your power goes to, in percentages, between, you know, your propulsion, your shields, and your weapons. And I mean, you can go all out weapons, you can go all out engines, you can go all out, but it says it's 0% on like weapons and shields, but it's not really. You still do have some weapon control, you still do have some shield control. Now, when you go to PTE mode, that's basically the acronym. It actually has a voice when you push its B. When you push B, it says engaging PTE mode, which is power to engines. And that basically takes everything from everywhere and puts it in the engines. And you go really, really fast.
Just haul butt out of there.
Well, I have done that before, yeah.
Have you ever played like Faster Than Light?
No, I haven't.
FTL? Okay.
I haven't
played it. Because that whole, like, it does sound a little bit like Star Trek Online, that whole, like, powered engines, power mm-hmm. this thing. But a lot of that, like, you know, assigning things and having different power levels sounds a lot like FTL, which is more of, I don't want to say, like, turn-based, but real-time strategy game.
Yeah, I've seen a couple casts of it just to see how it was played, and I thought it was really interesting. It did seem kind of real-timey. I mean, as soon as you jump to a certain place, mm-hmm. cool. But I've played a few of these kind of space games, and they all have that, you know, three-way shields, weapons,
okay.
propulsion. Even STO has it. Like, you can lower shields and all that.
Yeah, no, I remember.
Basically, it's big-ass open-world spaceship, and you can do trading, piracy.
So you can do a lot in this game, then.
Yeah.
Would you recommend picking it up based on the amount you've played so far?
Yeah, and it's well, I mean, like, it's only $30. Okay.
To steal. I'm kidding.
When compared, okay, this is like a massive game that looks like a AAA game mm-hmm. and has a really locked down feel to it.
It sounds pretty expensive.
What?
The game. The thing we've been talking about, you know?
Extensive. I thought you said.
Expansive.
Oh, I thought you said expensive. No. I was like, what? It's open world space.
Awesome. Nice. So, kind of the opposite end of that, one of our listeners, who I happen to work with, so that makes it convenient for this story, lent me his Vita for a couple hours, and with the entreaty that I had to play this game.
Which game?
It's called Murasaki Baby.
Oh my god.
And it is a really, it's a strange game, but it's really endearing.
Really?
Yeah, it's incredibly strange. Like, normally this type of art style really isn't my bag. And I'll post a couple pics into the show notes just so you can see what it looks like. But the story itself is actually really nice, and it's all kind of told through the actions and the backgrounds and stuff like that.
That's the balloon game you were telling me about.
I don't think I've talked to you about this one yet.
Yeah, no, because I have a Vita.
Yeah, yeah.
And you mentioned it and pointed it out to me, and I watched a gameplay trailer on it and was like, what the fuck is this?
Well, it's a touchscreen game.
You have to, like, move the balloon around and whatnot.
So it's... Okay, so let me describe the touchscreen really quick here, because as you know, but I didn't realize this, is that the Vita has... Because I've never actually used a Vita. I knew it had, like, a back touchscreen, but I didn't realize like, what that was for, what it could be used for. But there's the front screen, which is touch, and then there's the back screen, which is also multi-touch. It's not really a screen. It's more of a, I guess, a touch pad.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to use both of them to control this game.
Oh, balls.
So this game doesn't use, like, any of the buttons or any of the, any of the joysticks, anything like that. It's all touch screen. And it uses the front one, which is where you control. I assume the baby's name is Murasaki. I'm just going to call it that. but this little baby creature, you control it and the balloon. So you're kind of dragging it along. And then, you know, you can pop enemies and stuff like that with a tap from the front of your finger. And, you can manipulate the balloon. And if, the baby gets scared, she'll let go of the balloon and you have to get it back to her before she can do anything. And you have to avoid the balloon getting popped by either enemies or environmental stuff. So sometimes that means ducking the balloon down while you're leading the child forward. So, you know, that's two fingers on the front screen. And then at the same time, you're using, like, your index finger or something like that to poke at enemies, also on the front screen. And then the back screen controls the background, and different backgrounds have different effects on the main game. So like in the first level, one of the backgrounds is all of these boxes in the back. And when you tap on the front screen on one of the, or tap on the back screen on one of the boxes, they like jump up and let out this scream, which scares your character, but also scares like enemy characters on it. So, you know, sometimes to get around stuff, you have to make them scream, and, you know, then you have to drag the balloon back to her and stuff like that. And so you're doing all of this like at the same time in some cases, especially as you get further in. And your goal is to get her to the end of the level and make sure her balloon doesn't pop and that she doesn't get too scared.
What happens if the balloon pops?
It's game over.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Okay. She cries and then your screen goes black and then you start from the last checkpoint. So.
Oh, okay.
But along the way, you're meeting all of these other kids with balloons. And basically, you're either, I think, like solving their problems or something like that along the way. But it's kind of in this weird, slightly creepy way that you're doing it. Like in the second level, for example, there's this one kid who just wants to be your friend, but unfortunately he's in a giant, scary bunny suit. So you're trying to lead the child along, and the guy will come along and like scare certain enemies off for you. But then she won't proceed until you flip to the background, which is a whole bunch of TVs, and tap the background and all of the TVs come on, and he gets distracted long enough for you to drag her through.
Oh, shit.
But the control scheme is really complicated and really, like I got frustrated with it every once in a while, just because you're trying to do so much on screen at one time that it becomes actually very difficult to do after a while. And then, of course, you're trying to control the back screen as well and hold the Vita the whole time.
See, and that's one of the things, that's actually one of the things that's always bugged me about touchscreen games, especially ones that you have, that you're looking at like multi-touch using like two or three fingers, is a lot of those games, I mean, a lot of it is the art style is very impressive. It's got, you know, a really good art style, or, you know, you've got these visuals happening on the game, but as part of the design of the game, you're blocking it with your hand.
I noticed with the Vita, it wasn't that bad. It's wide enough that you still get most of the art style. And then you're like the thing I was describing where you're holding the balloon down and leading her forward and tapping at enemies isn't like the normal gameplay. That's like the stress gameplay. That's when they're pushing you a little bit more. So you get to enjoy the game for the most part where you're just leading the little girl around and occasionally changing the background. So they give you enough time to think about the puzzles where you can actually, you know, take in the backgrounds and appreciate them. Because a lot of what's going on in the background is that there's a story being told as well. So you're watching that as you go forward and figuring out kind of what is going on with this main enemy in the level, who is usually another child. But it's just an absolutely fascinating little game. Very linear, but and very definitely puzzle based. And you'll probably get frustrated every once in a while playing it. At least I did. And it's just a fun, weird little game on the Vita. So
nice.
You know, if you have a Vita, then I recommend, you know, you have a little extra cash lying around, maybe pick it up. I don't know if I'm gonna be running out to buy a Vita for this game though, by any means. So I think that one little trip down there was a lot of fun. It was interesting, but yeah, just a weird, fun little game. So, and I have a few guesses where the plot goes, but I'm not sure that I'm right about it, which is that you're going through leading her along, and eventually, because all of the kids have balloons when you meet them, and those balloons are usually tied to some insecurity they have. And once you pop them, they're trying to either get that security back or something like that. And eventually you solve their problem. Is that eventually you're going to have to solve the title characters, whatever her problem is, and finally pop the balloon for her.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's my guess. And if it doesn't lead there, then I'm a little bit disappointed, because that's what it seems like they were leading towards. But, you know, I may not get to see that ending. So maybe I'll look up a Let's Play.
There you go.
That'll be obscured by somebody's giant hands.
Fucker. No, you can get screen grabs off.
No.
I don't know how to do it, but you can.
I have a few ideas. Anyway.
Yeah.
Interesting little game.
Oh, never mind. It's got an output.
There you go. Yep.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's actually been pretty much my my gaming this week, for the most part, and you know, one good TV recommendation to get you through this long month without us.
Yeah, what show is that again?
YMHMI. It's the one we shoot. You know, we don't actually shoot it; we audio
link. Oh no, I thought
no.
Oh my god,
Leverage.
Right.
The show is called Leverage.
I watch Leverage.
I am very surprised at you, Nate, that you don't know what show we're doing.
Yeah, I know, right? Is this I thought this was the Hearthstone one. Why aren't we talking about Hearthstone? Shouldn't I be streaming a game right now? Aren't we doing a 30-30-30 again? And the answer is no.
Are you doing a 30-30-30
again? The answer is no.
So you've heard it here first, folks. Oh, Nate will be doing a 30-30-30 through the month of October. So you should tune in over at twitch.tv/YMHMI every single day for the month of October, where Nate will be streaming at least 6 hours a day.
Oh, fuck.
I have heard from sources close to him. Adam said so.
You're gonna get really bored watching me play Starpoint Gemini with Leverage in the background.
There you go. 6 hours a day, folks. You've heard it here first.
Starpoint Gemini.
But anyway, you can find us over on YMHMI.com, where you can catch the Hearthstone podcast, which will be continuing through October. And there's some exciting stuff happening over there. We're seeing a lot of really cool tournaments come up and a lot of really new ways to play with kind of the cards in the game. So
yeah, definitely check that out. There's been some weird shit, especially like in the European finals.
Yeah, and we'll be seeing the Chinese finals next, and then finally the top 16.
Which would be
I think there's one more tournament and then the top 16. So we'll be seeing all of that, and we'll just be taking a look at kind of how the meta changes and games and all of those fun things. So if you're interested in Hearthstone, go ahead and take a listen to that. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you can talk to us on twitter.com/YMHMI or facebook.com/YMHMI. And you can check out replays of our YouTube videos. We actually just played Gauntlet on Tuesday, which was awesome. And we would talk about that, but I think it's better if you just go watch it.
Because yeah. It was awesome.
It was a lot of fun, and I think you'll get a better impression than us just going, it was so much fun.
It was oh my God, awesome.
YouTube.com/YouMightHaveMissedIt for all of that and more. And me, like, looking dumb with my mouth hanging open 90% of the time because I'm trying to concentrate so hard.
I know. We were totally zoned in on a large portion
of that. I rewatched a little bit and I'm like, wow, my tonsils are looking a little swollen. Maybe I should get that taken a look at. No, it's not quite that bad.
Oh, and new thing. The Steam group.
Ah, yes, you can explain that because I still don't fully understand it.
Okay, so we now actually have a Steam group. So if you're on Steam, because if you're listening to this, you're probably a PC gamer like us. You can look us up. It's short name YMHMI. So you can go to steamcommunity.com/group/YMHMI, and you can either join the group and check it out, or you can follow the group and you'll get our curator recommendations. Which basically any game that Adam or I decide to promote and say, hey, this was a really good fucking game, you should check it out, you can check it out. And we can, we'll link, if we write a review to it on our website, we'll link it from the curator page to our website. Or, you know, there's a bunch of the 30-30-30 YouTube clips linked on the reviews that are on there. So definitely check that out.
Beans, take a look.
And if you join the group, you will be in the group, of course, and you can actually chat with us. I won't tell you which one is which. It's pretty easy to figure out, though.
You'll never know, ever. You'll just have to guess which is which.
Well, I don't know if they've ever watched any of our our broadcast stuff, you know exactly what our Steam names are anyway.
That's probably true. Anyway, thanks for listening, and we will see you guys in November. Yep. And we'll see you gals in November as well.
Right. Unless you listen to the...
Unless you listen to the Hearthstone podcast, in which case we'll see you on Thursday. So we expect you to be there, notes ready.
Come on.
There might be a pop quiz. There might not. If I told you, it wouldn't be a pop quiz.
And so basically what he's saying is be sure to watch the tournaments because they're awesome.
We grade on a curve.